This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is Friday, the 2nd of February, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. It's a Sports Friday with Eric Sawyer III. We're waiting for his arrival to studio. There's lots to talk about today. I want to start the show by saying thank you to the Sand Dollar Adoption Unit for their sponsorship. It has come to an end right now. We're hoping in the short term we can have them back on board with On the Clock to share more about this digital Bahamian dollar, about it being an alternate method of payment for people who are living in banking deserts, who are estranged from formal banking services, who have been left in dire straits, having to spend far more money than should be needed just to engage in basic banking and economic finance services. So we say thank you to the Sand Dollar Adoption Unit. Thank you to the Central Bank. And I hope that we can begin again in the short term. Now, Mr. Stephen Hanna ended Morning Blend by saying I was going to talk a bit about culture this morning. I love it because I'd love to talk about the culture of sports and why it's so important, particularly for young people, to have at least one opportunity in their conscious lives to engage in a formal sports program. What that type of engagement enables young people to do is so very, very important. In fact, sports are important outside of the realm of competition, of international competition, and of professional competition. Sports, in and of itself, has value. And so I have no problem. In fact, that's what I want to talk about today. The first story on deck is from the 31st of January. According to reports, BAISS canceled. We touched on this earlier in the week, but there's a follow-up story I want to touch on as well. But according to sources, one of the oldest local track and field meets on the schedule and arguably the one with the most hype is canceled for this year, marking just the second time in its 38-year history that it has been called off. On the same day that its basketball playoffs tipped off, it was reported that the Bahamas Association of Independent Secondary Schools Track and Field Championships is on the shelf for 2024. The only other time it was canceled was in 2021 due to the threat of COVID-19 pandemic. The competitiveness of the meet has reached new heights in recent years with the Comets from QC and the SAC Big Red Machine engaged in thrilling end-to-end battles. SAC is the three-time defending championship. SAC is the three-time defending champions and have won five of the last eight meets. The Comets won two straight in 2015 and 2016 and then won again in 2019. Prior to 2015, SAC had won 25 straight and 27 of 28 losing only in 1989 to the St. John's College Giants. The popular three-day meet, usually held in February each year, generates one of the top fan bases in local sports in the country, with alumni from QC and SAC in particular flocking to the stadiums each year. According to reports, the meet has been canceled primarily because of its proximity to the Carifta Trials, set for March 15th through 17th at the original Thomas A. Robinson Track and Field Stadium. The BAISS meet was moved from its original date of February 14th and 16th to March 6th and 8th. And the main issue with that is that the March 6th through 8th period is just 1 week before Carifta Trials, which is set in stone. Sports are important, not just for the athletes who attempt to be professional athletes, start a sporting career. It's also important for the individual and for the school community. These types of activities and engagements, most importantly, help to instill discipline and help young people to understand what discipline is. I see I have a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. And boy, listen, I can miss being able to talk to soccer and say, hey, guess what? Five of the last eight means you didn't win the last eight.
Yeah. And you win eight straight.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad. There are two kinds of people in the world, you know, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Those that went to soccer and those that glad they never did.
Now, Mr. Sawyer, this is one of my most favorite rivalries in the country, and I love the rivalry because to be able to compete at this level, you've got to have discipline, both individual discipline, and you have to understand collective discipline and the role you play as an individual in maintaining the integrity of the unit that you are a part of. And this is what sports imparts on young people, right?
It does. It really does.
And so for those young athletes who want to compete but don't want necessarily compete at the national level or on the international stage but want a decent record for their transcript, right, for their application to universities, we've taken away that opportunity for them.
Yeah. And it's sad, but, I mean, maybe those that were not scheduled to run in the Carifta Trial should represent their schools for BAISS and keep the trend going, you know. Maybe that's the option going forward.
Possibly. There's another follow-up story in yesterday's Guardian. BAISS, BAAA's trying to bridge the gap, and essentially they are hoping that they could revisit the decision. But I encourage people who are interested in this to read both articles. According to reports, BAISS canceled and BAISS BAAA's trying to bridge the gap. I'm going to read just briefly from that. With the news of the cancellation of the championships gaining more and more traction by the minute, it is now being reported that officials in the BAISS and the BAAA's and the National Sports Authority are feverishly looking for ways to bridge the gap and somehow, some way, revisit the decision to cancel the meet. BAISS officials remain tight-lipped on any decision to cancel yesterday, but BAAA's President Rumiko Archer said it is their hope that some resolution will be reached in short order. And so the article details the conversation, what happened. The GSSSA, Government Secondary Schools Sports Association, and the BAISS, they alternate first choice of dates, right? They alternate first choice of dates. And so the article goes through the timeline of decision-making and what happens. So we say to all of the agencies involved, BAISS, BAAA's, and the NSA, that we hope that you guys can manage this, because the BAISS Track and Field Championships also is valuable to the schools generally, to the community of students generally, to the community generally, because it's a space in which we as athletes and spectators practice discipline. It's a space where we understand the rules. And I think it's vitally important, because in sports, we don't change the rules for your feelings.
No. When you freeze, you freeze.
Right.
And you know, anything after freeze is last.
If it's a foul, it's a foul. Right?
Yeah.
If it's a DQ, there's a formal procedure to challenge particular rulings. And the sports community demands that everybody participating in it understands the rules and commits to following them and commits to fulfilling whatever penalty is placed upon them for a breach.
Correct.
Now, this is important to me because this is the space in which young people become adults. As you could see on the roads today, we have a problem with following the rules. I just want to say, before we transition, you don't have a right to run a stop sign. You don't have a right to obstruct traffic.
Lord, I got a book on this.
You don't have the right to run a stop sign into oncoming traffic and then stop your car, drop it to 5 miles an hour, and then get upset at the people who alert you that you're obstructing traffic. You don't have
those people that reverse across two lanes of traffic to go the opposite way.
Yeah.
Oh.
You just cannot do it in a society.
Use the outside lane to go around to the third exit on a roundabout.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Anyways,
What sports imparts to young people is that discipline is required for self and for the collective.
Yeah.
The rules are paramount, and you play within the rules or you don't play at all.
Correct. Again.
And so, again, I'm pleased to see in the follow-up article, BAISS, BAAA is trying to bridge the gap, that the relevant agencies and authorities are working, as they said, feverishly for ways to bridge the gap and hopefully host the 2024 BAISS Track and Field Championships. And it's important that we instill and impart this discipline in young people as a whole, but in the sporting world as a whole, because as the opportunities to participate multiply, we have to show, particularly international participation, we have to show that we understand what it means to be a part of a sporting initiative, to be a part of an entity that seeks to succeed, expand, and grow. So let's move on. Oh, I can't move on yet. I got a text. Hey, great show as usual. SAC is in the history books for having the world's oldest 12th grade athletes in school history. Listen, if they within the rules, if that oldest 12th grader is still getting his diploma, then it's okay. It's okay. But we congratulate SAC. Mr. Sawyer, I just want to take a moment to say to SAC, even within the rivalry, we see what is the best of SAC and we celebrate it. I want to say to the SAC, say to the SAC alumni, we need you to model and package this alumni policy program that you all have and share it with other schools so that they can build up their school the same way that SACers have committed to building up their school. Because I can tell you why.
Well, I can tell you, they start from grade 7 now.
Yeah, man. It's good stuff.
They literally sit down 7th graders and say, are you aware that 20 other people wanted your seat? Are you aware that that makes you the best of the best? Are you aware you are cream of the crop?
That's how you do it.
Are you aware?
That's what they say. Yeah, you build.
You are now 11 years old, just 6 months outside of puberty, and now you're being told that there is nothing else better in the world. Like, I have worked with people that are 30, 40, 50 years removed from high school. Kids in 3 countries, married twice. You know.
That's how you do
been
it.
Been to college, been to university.
When we were
have bachelor's, have master.
When we
and
were
you know,
busy?
They still fix them out to say, you know, I've been to SAC, right?
Yeah, man.
Like, what?
when we were at QC, Mr. Roberts, the headmaster, his daily thing, he would call it ladies and gentlemen because he wanted to create the vision in your mind of what you could be, what you are already if you realize
it. Exactly. Young ladies and young kids. He never said little girl and little boy. He was always young man. Grandma, what are you doing, young man?
Yeah. Let's go on to the next story. NFL flag, Bahamas sending three teams to Pro Bowl. The sport of flag football is taking off in the Bahamas, literally. A total of three local teams departed for Orlando, Florida yesterday afternoon, so that was the 31st, preparing to take part in the NFL Flag Football Championships during the National Football League's NFL Pro Bowl weekend. That means we don't have...
I watched the talent skills competition last night. The quarterbacks, and they had a throwing competition, the center. How you hide the ball, you had to hike it in between these little holes in a wall. You know, and the smaller the hole, the more the point.
Precision.
Man. And the wide receivers there to try to catch as many balls as they can. They started off with two balls in their hand already. And you had to do various moves and routes to catch a ball, slant patterns.
So
you start off with two footballs in your hand already and have to catch as many as you can thereafter.
Awesome. Crazy. The weekend of activities include, well, in this year's revamped Pro Bowl format, multi-day event will including the skills training will conclude with the NFL Pro Bowl games highlighted by a 7-on-7 flag football game between the National Football Conference and the American Football Conference Pro Bowlers.
And thankfully, there will be no 49ers present because we are going to be in Vegas.
That's right. Don't mind that. For the Bahamas, one adult team and two youth teams will be in action, looking for supremacy in the region and also to set the stage for continued growth in the sports. The youth players range in ages from 8 to 12, and they are mixed gender teams, girls and boys. Now, exciting news, Bahamas Air has come on board as a major sponsor of Teen Bahamas, transporting the team to and from Orlando. We say thank you, Bahamas Air. The league is actively preparing Bahamian athletes for international representation and Olympic qualifiers, particularly with the sport being added to the agenda for competition at the 2028 Olympics in L.A., California. Beginning this year, the practice squads of all 32 NFL teams will expand to 17 players, making room for at least one of those players to be a foreign-born player. The Bahamas becomes the first Caribbean nation to have at least one team compete in the NFL Flag Football Championships. So there are multiple ways that Bahamians can participate. And then guess what? 49ers will be there, sir. In spirit.
Yes.
The teams have received...
They will be there in spirit.
Cleats from NFL star tight end with the 49ers, George Kittle. He'll be playing in the Super Bowl, but he's sent cleats down for all the players. And this one I know will hurt your heart. The teams will be adorned in Dallas Cowboys gear.
Okay. Okay, he's wearing a bunch of schoolgirl clothes there. That's the one. And they ain't cowboys, they're cowgirls.
Oh, my. Look here, this rivalry is something else. Trayvon Moncur, a 12-year-old wide receiver and pass rusher, is thrilled for the opportunity to compete. And Justina Thompson said she, too, is looking forward to the opportunity. The teams get back in the Bahamas on the 5th of February.
Hola.
That's a wonderful opportunity. Another quick story. I could hear you, Mr. Sawyer.
Sorry.
No problem. Albury and Charlton receive NCAA weekly honors. Bahamian collegiate basketball players Dayton Albury and Verone Charlton nabbed conference honors for outstanding play in the NCAA for their respective schools in the Atlantic Sun Conference last week. Albury, who plays for the Queen's University of Charlotte Royals, was named the conference's newcomer of the week. And Charlton, who plays for the University of North Alabama Lions, was named the ASUN Freshman of the Week. This is the second time this season that she, Charlton, has bagged that award, with the first honor being in November 2023. I love this story. Looks like Dayton is preparing to be a part of the men's national team. And Charlton is making her way to the WNBA. Say congratulations and keep up the good work. Now, Mr. Soy, I got somebody joining me in studio right now. Good morning, Bruno.
Good morning, Mr. Grant.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good, good.
Hey, what's going on, Bruno?
I go.
I missed you last week. But I'm glad you're here. See, I have somebody in the studio to run on with. And I want you to know I have my Running in Love Running On t-shirt right now. I prepared.
Yeah.
Good morning, Bruno. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
What'd you think of the conference finals?
49ers came on bad.
Thank you, sir. That's what I like to hear.
But did you
expect... like, yeah, winners win.
Did you expect the Ravens to lose?
No,
I wasn't expecting that. I thought they had that in the bag. Then they just fumbled that ball. Just fumbled.
Literally.
Whose fault was it? Was it Lamar's fault?
It's Lamar's fault. He could have stepped up. They was actually in the lead. They was winning the game. Then, come back. They do a great
game. Yeah, but Mahomes is the new Jordan of the league, you know?
But listen, the Ravens had a stellar team. They had Odell Beckham and Lamar Jackson, and they still couldn't seize it.
They had a stock team. They built a team to beat the Chief, and they still lose.
Now,
he's right.
Listen, I think that the people want a Taylor Swift Super Bowl.
That's what I was thinking is, right, you know, if Detroit did beat us, which they didn't, of course, bang, bang, bang again. But if Detroit did beat us, it would have been Taylor Swift versus Eminem with Usher halftime show. What a musical classic it would have been.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear the people say, imagine Detroit Lions, right, the Motor City Lions, playing in L.A. against, who they going to play against? Not the Chiefs, but it would have been an all-urban, all R&B soul Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now, gentlemen, I want to ask you a question quickly. A lot of people are saying, those people who say they don't want to see Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl are just misogynists and don't like women. Has Taylor Swift impacted play at all? Has her presence in the stadium impacted play, or has it just boosted the morale of the Chiefs?
All it has really done is just made more people, a.k.a. women, watch the sport of football. That's all. Buy a jersey here, buy a hat there, because who they love to hear sing songs? Taylor Swift is taking time out of her busy schedule, you know, because this weekend I understand she's in Japan for a concert.
Yeah.
This weekend? Oh, I think Thursday or Friday. Then I have to fly straight to Vegas for the Super Bowl. Like, she's a busy woman, you know. She ain't no play, trophy wife, you know. So, they show her maybe a combined 90 seconds all game. Man, for 3 hours, man, y'all got to stop it. For 3 hours, y'all got to look at a pretty woman's face for 90 seconds. It's 90 seconds combined.
I say with Taylor Swift, they're going to be the most viewed Super Bowl in a long time.
Yeah, probably since the Patriot-Eagles Super Bowl.
Yeah.
In 2018, that was a big game, too. Nick Foles beat Brady that day.
You think Usher's going to invite Taylor Swift on the halftime show stage to perform with him?
Well, you never know. You never know, because she's there, but you never know.
Yeah. I hope they practice with something. They put something together, you know? That they work
on
something.
Yeah, man. Charge him a little $500,000 for one, 2 minutes of her voice and her talk time.
We're going to get back to NBA talk, NFL talk in a second. I want to highlight just a couple more local stories, because these young people are worth highlighting. And then there's lots in the papers in today's stories. So let's look at the boxers. Pilot amateur boxing program at Uriah McPhee. The New Providence Amateur Boxing and Bahamas Boxing Federation have teamed up through the support of former boxer Andrew Albury to begin a pilot amateur boxing program at Uriah McPhee Primary School. On Monday, Albury, along with NPBA President Valentino Knowles and BBF President Vincent Strawn, presented a punching bag for the use of the program. The program will be geared to both boys and girls from grades 4 through 6 between the ages of 8 and 12. According to Wanda Burroughs, the physical education teacher at the school, Knowles, a graduate of Uriah, thanked God for giving him the vision for allowing him to bring the program to his alma mater through the sponsorship of Albury. At the end of the 2 to 3 month program, Knowles said they will host an event at Uriah where they will allow the students to showcase what they have learned. The sessions are scheduled for Tuesdays and Thursdays. Assisting Knowles will be Andy Ford, the superintendent for facilities at the National Boxing Center, and coaches Kishno Major and Jamal Nabi, Godfrey Strawn, Verdant Scott, Tyrone Humes, and Jonathan Hernandez. We say thank you for supporting that program. And for people who wish to make a contribution of water or refreshments of any sort, can contact Knowles at npba242@gmail.com or 456-4371. So,
can you say those numbers again? Please say that contact again. This is a major program. It's going to help with the untold, unspoken anger and frustration surrounding the area. Mm-hmm. If you get them young and get them to hone those God-given abilities and to channel that anger in a positive manner.
Oh, yeah.
It'll mean all the better.
And for me, this type of training produces a more confident young man and young woman. So
right.
That when it's time to fight, they don't panic and feel like they need a weapon to defend themselves, or that they don't need a weapon to launch the assault. Now, I'm not encouraging young people to fight, but what I am saying is if you're going to fight, you don't need no weapon in your hand, right?
No.
But it's because young people have a lack of self-confidence because they don't understand their body. They don't know how to defend themselves properly. That they just grab a weapon every time. We can't stop kids from fighting, but we can impart into them, instill in them some skills, some discipline, some critical thinking skills. That means that conflict is resolved without extreme violence.
Oh, the violence only increases when you realize the phone or you're getting recorded, you could get both.
Yeah.
So if you lose that fight, everyone could bring it up. Oh, I remember when boy so-and-so knock you out. So I happy they doing a boxing program. So mm-hmm. Everyone can learn how to fight.
And at the very least, protect themselves.
Yeah, protect yourself.
Yeah. It's because self-defense is very serious, right? But you can learn skills where you could defend yourself without throwing a blow. Simply by understanding how momentum works and using the momentum of the attacker to throw them away from you. I call it, that's my favorite martial arts, sir. It's called dashing. You dash them to the ground and then you run away. The most effective martial arts in the Bahamas. Let them use their own momentum. You use their own momentum to dash them to the ground.
I had a term dashing so long.
And run away. That's it. Also, this thing about the lens, Bruno, that's a really important point. The presence of the lens and how it changes people when they know that there's a lens watching them, right? I want to have a whole show. I have to bring you in on another weekday so we could talk about it, because I want to talk about that.
Oh, that's changed people's whole mood. Mind you, you'll be okay to lose a fight, you know, along saying no lens.
Right.
Because once you post something, that don't go away.
Right, it's in the internet forever, and it then causes people, like you say, the young man say, I cannot lose this fight by any means. I will be the laughing stock. And then they do something reckless, wild, ridiculous, and irreparably injure someone, right? We got to talk about it. This program, I don't even know. I'm hoping this my cousin Valentino knows, so I could give him a hug and say, you can't be hugging strangers, you see? That's how fighters break out. So I could give him a hug and tell him, thank you. Thank you for this contribution to the community. And it's going far because early in the week, we have the story about professional boxer Carl Heel, who improves his record to 4-0. He defeated Colombia's Jose Agustin Julio via knockout in the third round of the super welterweight division of the Coliseo de Pasqueto David Ruiz Ureche in Colombia last week. This guy is off to a great career. His fifth match is scheduled for February the 17th And he's just excited. He says the win was dedicated to the late Norma Heald. And into today's papers, I just got to pull it up. There's another local boxing story that's got to make the headlines. It's, I'm going to pull it up right now. Bruno, you ever box?
I never get the chance to go in the ring. But I
used to work in a grocery store as a boxing champion. I could tape up box, I could move box, I could stack box. Sawyer, you ever box? I think so.
Yeah, I've played in numbers before.
We are all boxing experts.
Yeah, I've played in numbers before, man. I don't know about that.
Yeah, man. So here's the story right here. I had to read it to add to this cadre of boxing stories. In today's Tribune, All Out Boxing honors Sherman the Tank Williams and pretty boy Floyd Seymour. All Out Boxing, headed by Grand Bahama Boxing Association President Jermaine Gibson, held a successful weekend of amateur boxing and gala awards presentations for Sherman the Tank Williams and pretty boy Floyd Seymour. The two nights of the Sherman Williams and Floyd Seymour National Pride Championships for the amateur boxers took place on Thursday and Friday at the Jack Haywood Auditorium, and the banquet took place on Saturday at the Church of Ascension Parish Hall. Both Williams and Seymour expressed their gratitude to Gibson and All Out Boxing and the Grand Bahama Boxing Association for putting on the amateur show in their honor and for recognizing them in their induction into the Grand Bahama Boxing Hall of Fame on Saturday. Also on hand was Fred Stirrup, chairman of the Bahamas Boxing Commission. And so, again, the Bahamas is just All Out Sports. And we can see it's not just a fly-by-night thing. The legacy of Elijah Obed lives on in the Bahamas.
It does. You know, we just had a very serious conversation about that 2 weeks ago.
Yes, absolutely. And thrill a minute, Pratt. We say thank you for stopping in studio with us. Okay, a couple more local stories, and then we're going to go to a break, producer. This one is from the Nassau Tribune, Junior Sailing Champions. Junior sailors took to the waters of Montague Bay by storm over the weekend at the 2024 Deltec Youth Regatta to be crowned victors. The competitors earned their bragging rights in the Optimists, the Ilka and Sunfish classes at the first Youth Regatta of the year. The event was organized and hosted by the Bahamas National Sailing School and Nassau Yacht Club in cooperation with the Bahamas Sailing Association. Joshua Weech, multiple-time Optimist Nationals title holder, won the tiebreaker against Norman Cartwright Jr. to be crowned the champion of the Ilka 6 class. Eliza Denning prevailed over her fellow sailors in the Ilka 4 class. Former Optimist National Champion Finley McKinney Lambert demonstrated his prowess in the Optimist Advanced Racing Fleet. He totaled 9 points, tied with Patrick Tomlinson, who won the Bahamas Optimist National Open Championship for 2 years straight. But he won the tiebreaker. So that's Finley McKinney Lambert won the tiebreaker. The Bahamas Optimist National Open champion. Joel Pornor excelled on the waters in the Optimist Green Fleet. The Sunfish class saw Delano Davis take home the championship hardware with 7 points. We want to thank all of the agencies involved for continuing to organize these events and ensure that young people can participate in the national sport. It's wonderful. A quick little highlight, rising under 12 tennis stars compete in the first IC Bahamas Junior Series for the year. Players in the under 12 division competed for the year in the first event for the year at the Nassau Tennis Center. Players represented from Grand Bahama, Abaco, and New Providence. On the boys' side, Deshaun Gardner Jr., who hails from Abaco, came out on top and captured his first under 12 title in a very strong performance over Aiden Musoli. Both boys were undefeated in the run to the finals. In the girls' division, both Marina Boswick and Grand Bahama native Danielle Saunders played great in what would be the last match of the tournament. Boswick was victorious over Saunders in a very exciting matchup. And a note from the Bahamas Lawn Tennis Association. I think you can find this story highlighted in today's Tribune as well. BLTA wishes players success on their collegiate journey. Representing the Bahamas, Dante Ambrista, Jacoby Bain, Kofi Bowe, Michael Major Jr., Anthony Burrows, Peyton Anderson, Shaitonia Missick, Sydney Clark, Ilana Mackey, Genesis Missick, Kaylee Kanuka, and other women who are also participating. We say congratulations. Congratulations. And those are our local stories for the day. Producer, take us to a break. When we get back from the break, Kai Jones in the news, DeAndre Ayton in the news, Eric Gordon in the news. And we heard from some of our NCAA players getting ready, training to be a part of the national teams. We're going to talk NFL and NBA when we get back from the break.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's talk about the Niners, Eric. Talk about those Niners.
Oh, I got plenty to say about those Niners, sir.
Oh, yeah. Bang, bang. Niner gang, son.
Absolutely. We're going to a break. Please stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. Joining me in studio is Bruno, our sports casting co-host, and Eric Sawyer III is on the phone. Mr. Sawyer.
Hey.
Hey. So headline in today's Guardian, Kai returns to lead Team Bahamas. Now, I'm excited that Kai is playing basketball again. He said he loved playing basketball, right? I'm excited. However, we got a problem. Perhaps we have a problem. Maybe it's not a problem at all. Should I, a team player, feel slighted that, like, if I get put on the bench because Kai has decided that he's coming to play with the national men's team?
Boy, I mean, hopefully he would have gone through some sort of professional intervention, first and foremost. And, you know, it's from a well-placed authority.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
See, cause
got to be playing shape.
As a team player, I want Kai, I want as many NBA, you know, people with NBA experience playing with us. But at
right.
the same time, I've been sitting here committing myself to the team, playing when I know it's unlikely we're going to win. And now you bring in a big shot and you put me on the bench. But listen, let's go to a caller. Producer, I can take this call and let's see. Good morning, caller. You are, Sawyer, call back. That's my bad, producer. I'm supposed to let you.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, Aaron. Yeah, good morning, Sawyer boy. Morning, Bruno.
Okay, now, hold on. You pause the line. We're going to... I dropped Sawyer's call accidentally. We're going to put him back on so you could talk to him, too.
Okay, yeah, I need, okay.
Morning, Sawyer.
Hey.
There you go. Morning, sir.
Okay, yeah. Well, I didn't congratulate Sawyer Boy Monday evening on Naughty Show, so I ain't going over that again, yeah. But, this Super Bowl, I like Perry Christie. I don't have a horse in the race.
Okay.
I love Perry's story, you know, and when the parents, when his mommy and daddy cry over when he win the first game. So more likely I lean in towards him. But sorry, boy, what happened to them dead Bostons last night, man? I heard Lakers ain't got LeBron and 80 and they got beat bad like that.
And they got spanked last night. Yeah,
and they got spanked. But yeah, Boston Reeves was hotter than Phoenix in August.
Now, gentlemen, on that point,
he died his career high last night.
Yeah, boy. And then New York on a 9-game winning streak. Lakers got New York tomorrow. And then the Clippers on a 9-game winning streak. And we got the Clippers tomorrow in Miami. We didn't break that 7-game losing streak.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the All-Star selections and all? Jalen Brunson in the All-Star game.
Yeah, boy, that's good. You see, he cried last night, man. The man cried. Yeah, man, that's good, man. You deserve it. Last year, he come close.
Well, so, gentlemen, here's a question. Lakers win without AD and LeBron.
And right. Blow them out. Almost blow them out.
Steph Curry does not make the first five for the West team. He's a reserve.
Yeah.
Is this an indictment? Is this the marking of time passing? Can the Lakers win without... If the Lakers could win this game without AD and LeBron...
Boy, that should say, that'll say a lot.
That, does it mean that they need to play harder now because they may be on the trading block?
All right, good. Let's attack this one question at a time.
No, they don't need no trade.
The starters are most definitely picked by fans. Mm-hmm. I mean, they try to say that it's a collection of fans and coaches and staff and blah, blah, blah. But basically, the fans run the show. And the fans wanted to see Shai Alexander wanting Steph Curry. Yes, there's a slight passing of the baton now.
Okay.
Yes, he is on the way.
Yes, sir.
Steph Curry ain't necessarily on the way out, of course, because he can't count him out at no time. But as it relates to high flying moves and slashing and dunking and whatnot,
it's time for the young players.
Getting back to that, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gives you that. He's a bucket. He's a
walking
bucket.
Oh, he's dangerous, man. He's dangerous in OKC, boy. Hey, man, I'm hungry in Dubai. Hungry in ANAC Dubai.
Shout out to Dubai. He just got a game.
Now, gentlemen,
yeah.
Let Bruno talk for a second.
Oh, okay. Go on,
Bruno. All right. With the All-Star starters, in my opinion, what I go continue off what Soy Boy is saying, that the fans will hold most of the votes. Coaches only hold a percentage of votes, like a little bit, the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But the fans hold the most. But I have Jalen Brunson. Made the All-Star game, but he was as a starter.
Okay.
Him and Steph Curry would.
Well, see, a lot of these guys in the reserves list, I would have put them up in the first five, right?
Like can't put Jalen Brown ahead of Tatum.
No. Tatum is more in the season.
Tatum is more of a marketed star on that Boston team.
Okay. And I see Tyrese Halliburton taking over the Pacers.
I was hoping
they were building a heel Halliburton team, but it doesn't look like they're building a heel Halliburton team.
He just didn't come off that minutes restriction. Now they only have him playing about a minute, 21 minutes. He played a whole game. They had problems.
Now, you think they put the restriction on him because they don't want him get good enough to beat them at the Olympics?
Well, he was injured or something, right? He was injured. Yeah, and then getting ready for the playoff. You know, because, in Miami is an April, May team. You know, that's when by All-Star, we'll probably be in fourth place. And then April, May, we'll probably move in second place, man. That's right. But I went with Boston, man. Boston, they always look good to get in the season.
Yeah.
And guess how they play last night? That's the same thing that could happen in the playoff. Yeah.
Now, listen, Aiden has his first back-to-back 20-point games for the Blazers. He's back off his injury.
I watched that game, too. But I feel sorry for Aiden now, man. I don't want to use with Phoenix with a playoff team. Now your team in 14 position. The basketball gods can't even help you get in the play-in. So you're going home early this year.
I'm so upset.
I'm so upset with that.
Every time I watch a Suns reel to see who he could have been playing with.
I see.
It was just his attitude and And that's work ethic. His work ethic was in there.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But Aiden, come on now.
Yeah, man.
Okay, I can have someone else get it, continue to listen, man. All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah, man, thank you very much for calling. Okay, guys, it's NFL time. Let's go through our rundown for the upcoming Super Bowl.
Yeah, man, let's talk about who played in the Super Bowl. Yeah, go on, say it, Aaron. Say it,
so listen, Super Bowl 58 will be held at the Allegiant Stadium, Las Vegas, Nevada. I love it. I expect magic tricks. I expect the illusions. I expect the most fantastic game ever in the history.
I'll tell you one thing.
Yes, sir.
We can't do that come from behind thing against home.
No.
I may be loud. I may be out there. But I'm a realist. You can't say you can come back from 10, 12, 17 points down against home. That just don't happen. He can play keep away with the ball the rest of the game.
Don't think that because he could come back from a 17-point deficit that you could do
it. Right. Not that we aren't capable of it. It is super difficult to do against a man called Patrick Mahomes.
Now,
super difficult.
I had a complaint about these playoff games. I didn't like the fact that teams were running down the clock, right, when there was enough time for potentially two touchdowns to be scored.
Well, you gotta think
why score anymore when you're already up the lead?
Thank you. Like, you got to think about it like a strategy. Like, okay, I choose to try go for another touchdown. It might cost me, it might cost my team, it might hurt my team more than help my team to do that. Because the next opposed team might end up catching the ball.
Right. They have the opportunity for an interception and to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
But you don't think NFL players are getting paid far too much money to not run play the clock? Straight
they down. Are paid that money to win. And if we are already in the lead with 2 minutes left,
thank
and
you.
I up by 1 point and you out of timeouts, I could take three knees and we out of here. Game over.
For me, that was the most disappointing part, to see the opposing team in the deficit, knowing that if they could get the ball, they could tie or win.
Yeah, no, you're not going to get the ball back because you don't have enough time left in the game or timeouts to stop me from running down the clock to end the game.
Mr. Sawyer, tell me, what do the Chiefs have to do to win the Super Bowl? And you, Bruno, as well. And what do the 49ers have to do to win the Super Bowl?
Well, the Chiefs have to pray. Right, they have to pray. They have to pray they can win the Super Bowl because we had this from Mahomes 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like was said by Nicholas John Bosa yesterday, when I asked about that Chiefs offensive line, he said they like the hole. If you look at that play in the Super Bowl where Mahomes threw the ball to Hill, I see 40, 50 yards down the field.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get that open and left. They close line Bosa.
Okay.
They close line him, hold him, break off his back in two, and they ain't caught a flag yet because they were looking to put Mahomes up there to be the next Brady.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he need to get a ring, bop. He lose to Brady the next year, boom. They get beat from Bo 2 years ago, bop. Last year they win the Super Bowl, now he got two.
Okay.
Now he's back looking for a third one, a la Brady.
What did the 49ers...
He was supposed to get beat, because if they played the way they were supposed to play, according to the rules, we just spoke about the rules in sports. If the Chiefs offensive line played according to the rules, then Bosa has a sack of Patrick Mahomes, and that play never happens, we win the Super Bowl. But hey, you know, if my aunt had Adam's apple, she'd have been my uncle. You just have to... Play ball.
Absolutely. Bruno.
Yeah.
49ers or Chiefs? You say you're going with the 49ers? How do they beat the Chiefs?
I'm going with the 49ers. They had a good run. They had a great run. But I got to go with the Chiefs. The Chiefs.
Okay.
All we have to do against those Chiefs is run the ball. Don't get fancy passing no balls in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Those Chiefs, I'm the secondary. For the Chiefs, they could catch balls. See, the thing about quarterbacks and defensive backs, they were wide receivers that just couldn't catch. So the coaches made them play defense. You could slap down the ball.
Right.
Because hands can't close on the ball. Now, those Chiefs defenders, they could catch a ball. So, you know, and Purdy, while he is very accurate, you know, he is indeed three-step drop, boom, throw to a spot and the receiver's supposed to be there. But if the cornerback gets there even a half second earlier, even a half second, it won't be a knockdown. It won't be a pass defended. It'll be a pick.
Now
that's how they play.
Allegiant Stadium is a domed stadium, right? So they have excellent weather conditions.
It is. That's something that all stadiums should have nowadays, man. Like, within the next 10 to 15 years, all of these teams should be in domed stadiums. Because it ain't fair, man. You know, I mean, you know, I like to clock with Miami, but, I mean, the coldest again in Miami, you know, 50 degrees, maybe 47. That's perfect playing weather in Kansas City, in Buffalo. No shade, you know? That's where they play. It's not fair that you got to play in the rain, play in the wind, play in... You go to Chicago to go play ball in November, boy, once you know. But a wind alone, it's the I can send you home.
Yeah.
Because the wind goes.
Yeah. Plus the wind affects the throw.
Right. Exactly. Games. But we all need to play in dome stadiums, so that way, literally, the best team will win.
But how do you do that if all teams don't start off with the same base resources, right?
It's that down from the owners.
Not start from the owners, man. We gotta build money.
Yeah.
Get money, man. You know? And it's there to be gotten. Because you can't tell me Kansas City don't have enough money to put a dome on top of that stadium.
Yeah.
You just can't tell me that.
What about the Panthers? I mean, they were 2-16? No, they were 2-15.
The Panthers also play outside, and the Packers play outside, the Vikings play outside. And these are cold places to play. It isn't like Tampa Bay or Miami, and even then, in the wind and the rain, it just gets sloppy.
Yeah.
And that ain't fair against teams that just want to come in, play a clean game, and of course beat the Chargers.
Well, it means that those teams have to practice in all conditions, right?
Right. But it's hard to simulate natural torrential rain. It's hard to simulate that.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, we are all out of time. I got one last text here. It says, please don't ever forget local legend, the late great, rest in peace, Ray Mines Jr. Of course not.
Yeah, boy.
We ain't gonna never forget him. Not at all. Not at all. I did some boxing and martial arts training in Ray Mines Jr. gym.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man. I could do a mosquito right in. I could take on a crowd of mosquitoes without a weapon, sir.
Oh, yeah. By the way, let me say good morning to Anton and Marcy as well.
Okay.
I can't remember her first name right now, but she listens to you, and she said to tell... She said, let them know she was out of the class of, stock class of 1982.
Yes,
don't
ma'am.
Don't talk about her big red machine.
Once you know, Sawyer. Once you know. Listen, we're going to close out the show today. I want to say thank you, Mr. Sawyer, for joining us. Thank you, Bruno, for joining us again. I missed you last week. You said I got on my running on. I'm a running on champion.
Oh,
so
Lord.
I love it. So you guys, this is Running in Love 2. It's coming up February 10th. But also, 242 Day. 3 weeks. That's the 24th of February. We're getting ready to celebrate us. You guys have a wonderful day. Tune into the All-Star Game. Let's give our Bahamians some encouragement. Even
yes.
though they ain't make it. We give them some encouragement and their team some encouragement. And let's also give Kai some encouragement. We're glad you're back.
Yeah, man. We're glad you're
leading the team.
Let's play some competitive ball again, man.
Yeah, man. We're glad you're back. Anyway, you guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.